Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Live Podcast, Championship Sunday Questions Edition. I'm your host, Ian Hart. It's a great day to be great. It's a great day to talk ball with the one, the only Fantasy Live Director of Analytics, Dwayne The Rock McFarlane. Dwayne, we're missing Chris today. He is in Sunshine, Florida. Couldn't quite get the Wi-Fi figured out, but the boys are back. We got two fantastic games to talk about, my friend.
Hey, Chris is in Florida. No weather to talk about there. Nothing super bad in these games that we have, like the first game, maybe a little bit of something, but yeah, unfortunately no Azimuth talk today, but we'll pour one out for Chris, the Storm Chaser, Alan.
The Cincy Storm Chaser, of course. So good vibes to Chris down there in that Florida sunshine. I will be trying to take advantage of some of that myself once Pro Bowl weekend comes along, but enough of that chatter, guys. Let's get into two of what will hopefully be the very best football games of the year. Starting off in the AFC, we got the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens, who are now up to 4-point favorites. The game total is resting at 44.5. So as Dwayne said, no serious weather concerns here. There is a chance of rain, but just 10 to 15 mile per hour winds relative to what we've been seeing over the last few weeks. Certainly not anything for us to be overly worried about. So Dwayne, let's start on the Kansas City side of things, because man, just looking at where they could potentially win against Baltimore, it's tough. And honestly, Kansas City, Baltimore, San Francisco, like these are three of the very best defenses in the league, particularly against the pass. So it is difficult to try to find some sort of avenue for Kansas City to keep going other than just Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice being bosses again, just like they have been for most of the second half of the season. Kelce particularly coming on strong in the playoffs as he usually does. So what Chiefs pass catcher are you paying the most attention to, Dwayne, whether it's someone you want to bet an over with or just someone who needs to step up to, again, take down what's been an incredible secondary led by Kyle Hamilton?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, like it's, I think it's tough to bet on any of these. Like if you were looking for a player prop or anything, I think the market's like pretty tight on them, but it's going to be consolidated all around Rashee Rice plus Travis Kelce. And I don't think we're going to see, you know, I mean, it's hard to think about any of the other secondary options. Do you want to throw the ball to Mecole Hardman? I think you should avoid giving the ball to Mecole Hardman. So like the play I really like on the Chiefs side of the ball, Ian, is, you know, and I know we're jumping ahead here, but it's the run game. If you look at the Ravens, yes, they rank first against the pass, 5.2 yards per attempt allowed, only 216 yards per game, that's sixth. So I think if you're betting anything there, you're leaning more towards the unders. But if you're looking at the run game, the Ravens have been susceptible if you can keep the game close enough. Like no team is led by 4+ points more than the Ravens. 51% of their freaking snaps this year have come with a 4-point lead. And that has kept that means the other team's typically trailing. And that is a situation where they're not in a situation to really run the football. But if you can hang in there, they give up 4.5 yards per attempt on the ground. That's 23rd in the NFL. And they give up 105 yards per contest. That is 13th. And when you look at running backs, Ian, that have gotten to at least 14 carries against them, 6 out of 9 have gone for 100 yards against the Ravens. So this is not your former Ravens defense that was just super stout stopping the run. They're really good against the pass, but you can run the ball on them. And Pacheco's been running, you know, pretty hot since Jerick McKinnon exited the lineup, unfortunately went on IR. In the last four games, we've got Pacheco averaging over 95 yards rushing per game. It's a situation where he's getting all the carries inside the five, and he gets all the two-minute offense. Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out there in the long down and distance stuff, but that's not it's not a very high leverage snap. Typically, the running backs aren't getting targeted. So Pacheco owns all the roles you want. He's running hot, and I do think the game stays close. I don't think the Ravens blow them out, even though we are starting to see this line move a little bit.
And I mean, this is no longer an offense that I think is just solely going to go out there and rely on Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball 50 times. Yeah. I mean, hand up, everyone. I was wrong. I don't hit 100% of my bets, sadly. And when I said that Patrick Mahomes was going to get that pass attempt total last week, my guy didn't even come close. Just 23 pass attempts, despite the Chiefs, really, man, at least in terms of, you know, adjusted yards per attempt and some of the plays MVS and guys were making, really was one of the best efforts of the season, I think, particularly from those pass catchers last week. So minus 10% drop back rate over expected last week, Dwayne. That was a single season low. And you can find all that information for free over with the Utilization Report Hub on FantasyLife.com. But glad you brought up the other running backs that have had success here, because again, it's not like it's just just been one guy. Zach Moss had 122 rushing yards. Kyren Williams got to a 114. Najee Harris, Devin Achane, Jerome Ford, and Christian McCaffrey also all managed to clear the 100-yard mark. Derrick Henry got the 97 on only 12 carries out there. So I do think a little bit of this, Dwayne, is a, you know, concerted choice like the Ravens do, load the box with A-plus defenders at the lowest rate in the league. They understand they got Jadeveon Clowney, you know, Patrick Queen, Roquan Smith, even Kyle Hamilton coming down to, you know, just be a stronger six or seven defenders than what most teams can do against the run. But hey, when it's a situation with the Chiefs where they have been down to establish the run and do so successfully, I'm a bit more confident in Pacheco than someone like Devin Singletary last week, who unfortunately only could convert those nine carries into 22 yards. So when you look at Pacheco, Dwayne, is it something where, again, you want to look at the rushing yards total or more so the rush attempts maybe, because you mentioned at least 14 carries, getting to 100 yards. Last eight games, Isaiah Pacheco, rush attempt counter, 16, 19, 15, 18, 11, 18, 24, and 15. Now, game script could change things, but if I was going to bet on anything here, might be more so the volume attached.
Yeah, and you guys can check out the player prop tool or the prop finder tool over at fantasylife.com, and you can check out odds across all the books. We've got it. We're looking at DraftKings today, and if you look at Isaiah Pacheco, to your point, Ian, the line is set at 14 and a half right now. So that's a number that he has beat multiple times. And then if you look at his rushing yards, I'm in on that one too, 63 and a half. I haven't projected slightly higher. So I probably would want to turn this into some sort of single game parlay because, you know, if you're just going with the odds there on Pacheco going over the 63.5, there's not a ton of room with where I have him projected. Got him projected to the over, but not by much. So I think the lines are pretty tight, but I feel good about Pacheco in the spot.
I put a bet down on Pacheco before we got going here. $5 to win 145, 100 plus rushing yards and two touchdowns. Who says no, Dwayne? Not me in this matchup. Got away from the pass catchers a little bit, but again, it more so is just because of how good the Ravens have been against the pass. I will say though, as great as Kelce and Rice have been, I don't know if it's the cold weather or just, you know, the time of year or what it is, but MVS actually came alive a bit last week, Dwayne. Caught two passes that were thrown at least 20 yards downfield. He only had three such catches in his first 17 games combined. So maybe he could be the X factor. Maybe it's Justin Watson. I just think that, again, the Ravens are going to make life very difficult on Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice because of how obviously great those guys have been, again, for most of the season. So Kelce has had a lot of success against the Ravens, you know, in past matchups, but these teams haven't faced off since week two of 2021. Since then, the Ravens have added multiple first team all pros in Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith, and again, are going to be awfully difficult. Overall this year, guys, only three touchdowns allowed to opposing tight ends. If anything, Dwayne, I think it is going to have to be the Rashee Rice show. I think almost like if Puka Nacua didn't exist this year, maybe we'd be giving more, you know, just attention to Rashee Rice because some of the underlyings, man, in terms of yards per out run, absolutely sensational stuff the rookie's been able to pull off this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rashee Rice down the stretch, since he's taken over that full-time role, he's been a borderline wide receiver one. Now, obviously, on a slate like this, he is a wide receiver one, but I'm talking like if we have a full slate of games, he's been right there on the verge of ranking inside the top 12 for me. And if you go back and historically look at his targets per route run, yards per route run, and his air yards, he does qualify as a high-end wide receiver too. So yeah, he's a guy that in our way too early fantasy mock draft over at Fantasy Life, you guys can check it out. Sam Wallace wrote up the whole thing. It's on the site. I took Rashee Rice in round five. So you got a pass-friendly offense with Patrick Mahomes. You're telling me that Travis Kelce, you know, we love him, but he is starting to get a little bit older. I'm down with Rashee Rice. I think they still need to add some weapons though, Ian. They need some more downfield threats. You mentioned MVS. Probably just a blip on the radar. It's like even those two catches were a struggle for MVS. You know,
I was double so shocked he caught him.
Yeah, the first one was a tough catch. You know, yeah. I mean, it was a sideline. You got to track it. You got a defender pretty close draped on you. The other one though is that deep crosser, and he had like his hands in that weird position doing that Michael Gallup thing that I see every game. And I was just like, come on, man! Like, how do you not know how to catch a football at this point? But with MVS, probably just a blip, and this is the worst kind of matchup for him because the Ravens just do not give up big passing plays.
It's crazy to think about, again, the Chiefs, incredible offense each and every year with Patrick Mahomes, except for this year, but even then they were still above average by most metrics. Like, they get Tyreek Hill, and he obviously fell the fifth round because of decisions he made in college and things he did there. But otherwise, like, just looking at who they've been able to add into Mahomes, like, era, if you will, it's been a lot of misses, Dwayne. They gave Sammy Watkins a fat free agency contract, got very little out of him. MBS is making $30 million plus. Like, I guess we can call, because of the results, we can say Juju Smith-Schuster was like a net W.
No, he
drew the hold. But Exactly. Okay, thank you. And then Sky Moore and, you know, some of these higher round picks.
Chris Conley.
Rashee Rice is really, man, like the first one to work out in a meaningful way. So, yes, we could see, I would hope we'll see, you know, a newfound effort to try to add some additional wide receivers who aren't going to bust to this offense. But again, just even screw rookies or anything, guys. Wide receivers this year with at least 50 targets, the yards per route run, top 10, Tyreek Hill, Nico Collins, Brandon Ayuk, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, the Sun God, Jalen Waddle, and then Puka Nacua, A.J. Brown, and Rashee Rice. So, yes, it's been a little bit gadgety, just a 5.2-yard average target depth. But if anything, Dwayne, I'm pretty confident that Rice is going to have a similar role next year, because this has been a team that runs screens more than just about anyone, and Rice has now established himself as one of the best yards after the catch merchants in the league. I mean, this one shocked me. Last 10 years, triple-digit targets, which, you know, is, you know, going to eliminate some of the more gadgety guys. Only 2021 Deebo Samuel averaged more yards after the catch per reception than what Rice managed to pull off this season. So, yes, I'll take Deebo over Rashee Rice. But, again, just if Puka Nacua didn't exist, I think there'd be a hell of a lot more just overall optimism with Rashee Rice moving forward. As much as we want to say everyone can produce in this offense, Dwayne, that's not true. We've seen it for 5 years running now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the other guy that's really heating up, obviously, for, you know, the Chiefs, and you mentioned it, is Kelce. And he's got a 30% target share over the last two games. You know, I can't predict what Travis Kelce's going to do next year. But what I can say, after doing the research, he really wasn't much different this season. He just had a bad second half of the year. And that's what fantasy managers remember, because he didn't help you in your fantasy playoffs. But for the NFL playoffs, he is helping his team. And after doing that research, Ian, he had a 22% target share this year. That's equal to his 3-year average. So no difference there. And then yards per route run, 1.96 this year for Kelce. And that's slightly below his 2.19 over the last three seasons. So maybe you could argue there's a little bit of a dip there. But a lot of times with these wide receivers, with these tight ends, they don't give us a pre-indicator that they're slowing down or going to hit a cliff. I remember kind of getting into this a few years ago, and remember we thought, okay, Keenan Allen playing in the slot, yards per route run, all these things going down. What does Keenan Allen do? The next 2 years, he just completely blows up. Adam Thielen was the same trend, blew up earlier in the season this year before teams just figure out, okay, we just have to take away Adam Thielen. That's the one thing that the Panthers have, and they were able to do that. So when I look at Travis Kelce, like, even thinking about next year, I have a hard time pushing myself to want to not have him as my number one ranked tight end, because I've started working on my top 150 now. I think I'm still going to have him as the tight end one. I think he's probably more of a late second round pick, though, Ian. Maybe middle second round pick. Should not be a guy that's going in the first round anymore.
And maybe we just didn't pay enough attention to his just bad numbers in odd number years, Dwayne. Look at it in 2018, 10 touchdowns, 2019, 5, 2020, 11, 2021, 9, 2022, 12, and this year, sadly, just 5 regular season trips to the end zone. So I kid everyone. But final note here on the Chiefs pass catchers. Hey, if you guys are like me and just like sprinkling, you know, a little bit of, you know, hard-earned cash on these complimentary wide receivers, it's like the Scotty Miller bets that we had going when he was still with the Buccaneers, where, okay, we're only expecting one catch, but that one catch will probably get them over their receiving yard prop. Both Justin Watson and MBS, Dwayne, are only sitting there at 13.5. Their average target depths are higher than 13.5 yards. So you literally just need them to catch one pass. Will it happen? I don't know, but you could imagine. I will certainly be throwing down again a few dollars over at DraftKings Sportsbook to F around and find out. All right, let's talk Ravens passing game now. Maybe we'll get Mark Andrews back. He practiced in full all of last week and still did not play, but is again practicing in full this week as we record this on Thursday. So fingers crossed he can return to action. If not, Dwayne, it really has become the Zay Flowers and Isaiah Likely show. Kind of since then, I was expecting the target discrepancy to be wider. Overall, 6 games without Andrews, but with Lamar Jackson, it is Zay Flowers in first place at 39, but tied for second, Isaiah Likely and Rashad Bateman with 27 targets. Then we have OBJ at 22, Nelson Agholor at 19, and then Justice Hill with 13. I know a lot of us were expecting the Ravens to really go ahead and unleash Beckham. Now that it's the playoffs, you know, last game of the year, can't hold anything back now type of vibe. Shout out Dan Fouts and everything there. But Dwayne, like, do you think there could be some value with these complimentary wide receivers given how close the targets have been, or is this Chiefs secondary just too good to overly want to mess with in the gambling streets?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, we talked about the Ravens being the number one defense in yard and yards per attempt allowed. Well, the Chiefs are number two, right behind them, 5.4. So, and they've been really good against the outside wide receivers. With Zay Flowers, they do move him around quite a bit, though, Ian. He gets to line up in the slot some as well. He works underneath a lot of coverages and things like that. So if the Ravens are forced to pass, that's the big question in this one for me. And I know we'll talk about the ground game here in a second, but I think that's how things are going to channel for the Ravens. They're a good running team. And we also know that the Chiefs just totally struggled last weekend to stop the Bills, specifically Josh Allen. But looking at the wide receivers, you know, you mentioned it. Zay Flowers is the clear leader here. He's got a 23% target share on the season. He's got a 20% targets per route run. And then behind him right now would be likely. I do think Mark Andrews is going to play this week. You know, the reports continue to be positive, and the sport books are actually putting lines out there on him. So you don't need Ian Rappaport, folks. You don't need, Adam Schefter. Just follow the money. And the sports books, they have the money. So looking at them already listing Mark Andrews on several sites. So I think I'm leaning towards Andrews playing. When he plays, he is the number one target on the team. And snaps this year, when you've had Mark Andrews plus Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. on the team, it has been Andrews leading the way with a 29% target share, 24% to Odell Beckham Jr., and then Zay Flowers at 20%. But you mentioned it, Ian. We thought maybe they would unleash OBJ. They have not done it. In fact, last weekend, we saw a season low 28% route participation. So I went back and excluded the fourth quarter when they really just let Beckham rest. This was going on in the first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter as well. He was only at 30% for the game, and it wasn't like in the first quarter he was sitting at 50 or 60%. He was around this number. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. I mean, you might say, well, they knew they were going to win that. It's a playoff game. I don't think you would go into it just thinking you're going to win it. I think in that first game, you're going to like unleash everything, but maybe that's the case. I mean, Beckham, from a targets per route run standpoint, 21%, he's second on the team. Like he's ahead of Zay Flowers. So I do think that if Beckham were able to take over a more full-time role, I think we would get fantasy production. That doesn't seem to be what the Ravens want to do right now. You mentioned Rashad Bateman. He's the guy that's really kind of taken over that number two role over the last several games. Obviously, we'd had high hopes at one point for Rashad Bateman, scored really high with a lot of dynasty folks. Everybody loved Bateman for all the right reasons. Was a huge target earner in college. His yards per team pass attempt were amazing as well. All the things that typically point towards being a good pro Bateman had, but we just haven't seen it. Even with this expanded route stuff, Ian, he's not scoring a lot of fantasy points. In week 17, he gave us 9 with an 88% route participation. Week 20, he gave us 7 points. So from a DFS perspective, it's fine, but I'm not going to load up on Rashad Bateman. If I am betting on a second wide receiver, though, for the Ravens, like, he's the guy that I'm going to do. But Nelson Agholor isn't far behind that. You know, he's right there with him as well. And he's actually been doing a little bit more with his chances when he gets on the field.
I think the Nelson Agholor slander has gone too far. I know, guys, I've seen the meme a freaking 100 times at this point. What's hilarious to me, Dwayne, is that meme happened one day after Nelson Agholor had 2 touchdowns. So I'm sure he dropped a couple passes in that game as well, because I know that was an issue in the past. But, you know, Eagles fans, like, come on. The guy was a legit starting wide receiver on a team that won the Super Bowl. I know he didn't exactly produce like a first-round pick, but when he is the Ravens' number four wide receiver, like, that's a quality number four receiver out there. Drops haven't been overly problematic this year. Chill out on the dropping babies memes. For once, I beg you guys, he's had some pretty nice run, especially that Raiders year was a good time. Chewed out the team famously, so I think that's enough Nelson Agholor propaganda everyone wants to hear, but had to get that off my chest. Moral of the story, though, again, this is just good on good with these passing games. Chiefs have not allowed a single wide receiver to clear even 90 yards since Devontae Smith accomplished that back in week 11. He only got to 99 in that game. So if no Mark Andrews, will once again be the Isaiah Likely show, but I am with Dwayne in terms of expecting Andrews to be out there. But hey, kudos to Likely. 6 touchdowns in his last 6 games without Andrews. Only George Kittle averaged more yards after the catch per reception than Likely this season. Truly one of the league's better number two tight end. So it's going through this, Dwayne, and you're right. I mean, Chiefs defense overall, just so good against the pass. I want to see if there's maybe a small weakness somewhere. And the best I got is they've been a little more mediocre against running backs. So against wide receivers, they've allowed the second lowest yards per attempt. Against tight ends, they're still top 4. Running backs, not bad, but they do go down to 12th. And I just wonder if we could see Justice Hill end up getting a bit of a James Cook-esque workload. As we saw, particularly in that first Chiefs-Bills matchup, they came out of the gate using James Cook a lot more downfield run those wheel routes that, hey, you know, he's able to go out there and make big plays when he can hold on to the football, had like 83 yards and a touchdown. And then even last week, drop what would have been a second touchdown there against this defense. So do you think there could be something that Justice Hill actually being the guy to maybe target Dwayne? Because I'm seeing that lowly 12.5, you know, receiving prop. Seems like that's more so based on the entire season and not quite as much based on Justice Hill really taking over that pass down role ever since Keaton Mitchell has been out of the picture.
Yeah, for sure. When you look at, you know, Hill over these last, and I just isolated to the last four games. So that's been since Keaton Mitchell mentioned, you know, since he left. We had games earlier in the season where Gus Edwards and Justice Hill were together. And, you know, it was a bit all over the board. But over the last four games, it has definitely been Justice Hill leading the way on passing downs. He's got a 58% route participation. He's handled 87% of the long down and distance and 93% of the 2-minute offense. So it's hard to know which Ravens running back is going to get the most carries every week. Typically it's Gus Edwards, but even that's been flipping around. But what I can tell you is it does look like Justice Hill has taken over this passing down work. And, you know, I looked at the same matchup stuff that you did, and I agree, if I was attacking one spot, it's probably with the running backs, Ian, but still only 4.4 receptions per game. I don't know. It feels really thin. If I'm going to bet it, I'm looking at the props right now over in the prop finder. He is sitting at 34.5 rushing yards, and we're talking receiving here. So projections, I'm at 7.6 projected. I'm on the carries. hey, we're right on though. 7.6 carries projected, 7.5, and then receiving yards, 12.5. I've got them projected at 19. So
yeah,
the thing I like about the 12.5 is that's the kind of prop that Justice Hill, because of the route tree you talked about, he's not just a check down guy. He can get that on one catch. He's also really explosive after the catch, so he can actually catch a swing pass and take it for that 12 yards. Looking at the receptions prop, though, that one's tight. I got him projected at 2.66.
And I don't want anything to do with that, just the yards.
Yeah, I don't think you can mess with that. I think you got to go with the yards bet if you're looking for something.
And again, there haven't been huge blow performances here because I, you know, like looking at what the other receiving running backs have done against this defense. And I don't think anyone's cleared 50 receiving yards. So not expecting Justice Hill to go bonkers, but I want to say there are 8 or 9 separate instances of running backs clearing at least 30 receiving yards against this defense. Yes, game script and things of that nature, but it really does come down in that similar route tree, Dwayne. We saw Justice Hill get loose a couple times against the Dolphins. I think he scored on one of them and then also got, you know, a big play nullified by a penalty. But yeah, okay, so it was 20 yards. 9 different running backs have gained at least 20 receiving yards against the Chiefs this year.
James, what's the average against them? 27, I think. 27 yards per game to running backs.
So, I mean, I don't think Gus is going to be getting it.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, no. Justice Hill, over 12.5. It's the candle bet, Dwayne. Let's do it.
Let's talk candle bet.
All right. Last thing here, how could we not talk a little about Lamar Jackson? Dwayne, 5 now postseason performances he has ripped off. I should say 6 postseason performances. 54, 143, 136, 34, and most recently 100 rushing yards with a pair of touchdowns for good measure. He's now only 127 rushing yards away from breaking the all-time postseason quarterback record, and he's only done it in 5 freaking games. So absolutely ridiculous. Only Steve Young, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, and Colin Kaepernick have him beat at the moment. So Chiefs defense hasn't exactly been shutting him down over the years. I mean, 4 historical matchups, 67, 46, 83, and 107 rushing yards. Again, that's, you know, last game they played was early on 2021 season, so things have changed. But Dwayne, when you do look at that Lamar 64.5 rushing prop, it feels high, but then again, I mean, is it more of a stay away from you, or do you think Lamar can get there with, you know, a workload that's been producing double-digit carries more weeks than not recently?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Lamar, you know he's going to be very involved on the ground. He ranks 2nd in the NFL in design rushing attempts as a percentage of his team, 18%, Jalen Hurts in 1st place at 23%. And also he ranks 1 in scramble rate at 11%. And last weekend he scrambled 14% of the time. So we know that these quarterbacks they're more willing to go ahead and tuck the ball and run and do what they need to do to get the first down in the playoffs, because it's, you know, win or go home. So they're leaving it all out on the field. They're also sliding less. So when they're not protecting their bodies as much, like, you'd get a little bit more risk for an injury, but you also get a better chance for a long run, them tacking on a few yards to every carry. And that gives you a chance to hit some of these overs. So I think that's all baked into that number though, at 64.5, that is pretty high. But I do like taking the over. I think that the Ravens are going to attack on the ground. They're going to look at the tape. They're going to see that Josh Allen went off for 84 yards rushing last week and that the Chiefs couldn't stop James Cook either. Really, whoever was out there, it didn't matter. The Chiefs weren't very good on run defense. They got a little better in the second half and later in the game, but early in that game, they were absolutely just getting bludgeoned in the run game by the Bills. And the Ravens are a better running team than the Bills. So I think that they're going to come out and run the ball a lot. And I think Lamar Jackson, you know, last week he would have had more than 18% of the design running attempts. They just didn't need to do that in the fourth quarter. So I think you're going to probably have him closer to 22-23%. We saw them dust off some of the older things that we used to see under the Greg Roman playbook. That's something that Matthew Friedman called out today when he joined Kendall and I on Sirius XM. You know, he said, hey, we're getting these throwback plays that we haven't really seen from Lamar as far as the design run game. So, and I saw that too when we were watching it. And so I think that's a really good call out. So if I'm betting the Lamar thing though, I'm going to bet an alternate line on it, Ian. I think you go for 80 yards. I don't have it in front of me, but probably it was, I think, plus 150 earlier in the week to just go ahead and bump it up to 80.
Maybe plus 165 now.
165. There you go. So 165 for 80. It's like, if you're just going to get out on this, you know, narrative that they're going to come out and run the ball and that's how they're going to beat the Chiefs, then that's the bet I would place. And then I would be willing to parlay that with an under bet on receptions for someone like Zay Flowers, because if they're running all the time, not going to be passing as much. Plus we potentially get Mark Andrews back. That's going to shrink the pie for Zay Flowers. I think his line's at 4.5 receptions right now. And I believe bettors are starting to hit the under pretty hard on that. So I don't know where the odds are now, but that would be my approach.
I'll actually say this, and this is a good, you know, just lesson to everyone that I've been learning as we now finally have gambling legal in Ohio. When you can dig into these alternate lines just a little bit, guys, you can really find some better odds. So yes, I look at Lamar Jackson alternate rushing yards, 80 plus rushing yards is at plus 165. But if I keep on scrolling just a little bit down my screen, over 80.5 rushing yards, Dwayne, is actually plus 210. For Lamar Jackson. So we need an extra 1 yard, but we're going from plus 165 to plus 210. Again, I think it's something where, yeah, we will see in the prop markets. Once you start getting good at this, you're going to get your limits cut and things like that. That sucks. I understand it. But hey, for now, if you're someone like me who hasn't won enough money yet for them to care about you, we will be taking advantage of that straight to the bank. Score prediction, Dwayne, I'm going with the Chiefs 23, Ravens 20. Just not willing to bet against potentially the greatest quarterback ever, with all due respect to the completeness of this Baltimore Ravens football team.
Yeah, I go 24-20 Ravens. I think the Ravens are the better team, but it's just it. I'm with you. It's really hard. I'm going to be rooting for Mahomes because that's what my wife and daughter are going to be doing. and I love Patrick Mahomes. He went to Texas Tech. That's where my tuition money for my son goes. So there's a lot of ties for me. I just think it's going to be a really good game. And I just hope that it lives up to that. One other thing I'll say on the Ravens, I love the Gus Edwards anytime touchdown. Yeah. That was sitting at plus 125. I'm checking it out right now over on DraftKings. Touchdown scores, Gus Edwards, plus 130, anytime TD score. So right now, you could run a single game parlay with what we talked about with Lamar, Zay Flowers, Gus Edwards. That would be plus 800.
Good stuff there. And yeah, maybe even plus 750 first touchdown scorer. I don't know, guys. Just saying.
He scored on the opening drive twice this season. Like, I did go look at that one. Now you don't have to score on the first drive. They could go three and out and then hold the Chiefs to a three and out. But he does get all the carries inside the 5 yard line with Gus. He's got 24 totes inside the five. That's second to only David Montgomery this season. 69% of the carries inside the five go to Gus Edwards for the Ravens. So I do think there's a really good chance he scores the touchdown. So I like the anytime touchdown, but to your point, and if you want to get bold and go with that first touchdown score, I think Gus Edwards is probably, outside of Lamar, the best bet on the Ravens side of the ball.
More bowl calls on the way for our NFC Championship preview, but first, want to give a shout out to our friends over there at DraftKings. Four teams, one goal, make it to Las Vegas in just a few short weeks with all eyes on the prize. We've teamed up with DraftKings, an official partner of the NFL, to get you in on the action. Right now, new customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Yes, instantly. Download the DraftKings app now and sign up using my promo code QUESTIONS for your shot at the crown. That's right, people. New customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. I'm wondering what you can use your $200 in bonus bets on. Well, combining multiple bets together from the same game for a shot at an even bigger payout may be right up your alley. If you're already signed up for DraftKings, you can get a no sweat bet. You can get that bonus bet back if your same game parlay bet does not hit. Max reward limits apply. And if sports betting is not yet available in your state, don't worry. You can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have the chance to win cash prizes. Download a DraftKings Sportsbook app now to find out. And again, new customers, use that promo code QUESTIONS and bet just $5 on any wager to get $200 back in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code QUESTIONS only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. NFC Championship, the Detroit Lions, what a time to be alive, traveling to San Francisco to take on the 49ers, who are now sitting at 7.5-point favorites. The game total here is at 51.5. So should be clear skies, should be no rain, which, you know, as we've seen with Brock Purdy, can quickly make him look more mortal than we have seen him just about any time. So should be good news for this 49ers passing game, assuming they can have all their parties available. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit, Dwayne. Let's start off with Jared Goff and company. Where do you think they can actually win through the air against this 49ers defense? Because similar to kind of last matchup, not many holes with Fred Warner and company and what they've been putting forward. So also have the home away splits to potentially worry about. How do you see the Lions finding success through the air this Sunday, if at all?
Yeah, when you look at the 49ers, they're, you know, fifth in receptions allowed per game, the fifth most. But like when you go to yards, only 146 per game to wide receivers. So that's 20th in the league. Yards per reception, they're the best defense in the league against wide receivers. But Amon-Ra St. Brown gets moved all over the formation, gets to line up inside. I think he's going to get his in, but I'm really scared of anything to do with Josh Reynolds or Jameson Williams this weekend. Also assuming that Khalif Raymond's not going to play. That could change, so you guys want to keep an eye on that. But I do think that it's similar to what you talked about with the Ravens. And I can't tell you like how much of this is really tied to the fact that the 49ers lead in a lot of games. I talked about the Ravens earlier, having 51% of their plays come with a 4+ point lead this season. The 49ers are second with 49%. So when you're leading and you're getting late into games, what do other teams have to do? They have to go to their 2-minute offense. And what does your defense do? It says, oh, we're not giving up the big play. So they start checking it down to running backs. That's why we like the 2-minute offense and why we want to see it from a utilization perspective. But it also can help blow up some of these stats. I don't know that it's particularly that the 49ers are not good at defending running backs, yeah, but they've led so much, it can lead to these sort of things. So it's kind of hard to decipher, but they do play mostly zone coverage. And against zone, historically, that has been best for spreading the ball out, and it typically sends the target shares for tight ends and running backs higher, and it deflates the target shares for wide receivers. Now, we do have guys that are exceptions to those rules. Amon-Ra has been good, whether it's zone or whether it's man, so you don't really have to worry about him, but I think it is good for Laporta. I think it's also a good thing for Jahmyr Gibbs. You talked about it a little bit yesterday on our playoff show, on our flagship show, talking about the playoffs. I like the Jahmyr Gibbs angle on this. Yeah. Since Khalif Raymond has been out, we have, and that's a guy that worked a lot around the line of scrimmage. He was third on the team in screen plays. You had Amon-Ra St. Brown ranked number one, then Jahmyr Gibbs number two, and then right behind him was Khalif Raymond. So that's a guy that they like getting the ball to around the line of scrimmage. You don't have him. And over these last two games, we've seen the targets per route run explode for Jahmyr Gibbs, and that's at 33%. But the Lions and the way these games have worked out, they've been pretty close the whole time. So he's not having to run a lot of 2-minute offense. He's getting all the 2-minute offense work, but they haven't used their 2-minute offense that much. I think they are going to trail in this game, and I think they're going to have to use that offense more. I think he's going to get more routes this game. So when you put those two things together, the targets per route run, also with the fact that he's going to get more snaps, I think that Jahmyr Gibbs, looking at those receiving props, is something I really like. I believe it set it right around 22.5 right now. He's gone over that the last two games. He's been at 40-plus yards. So, well, really, over the last two games, he's gotten at least 4 targets, 4 receptions, and 40 receiving yards in those two contests. So I think Jahmyr Gibbs is a guy that I would look at for the receiving yardage prop.
And it's a great call out in terms of like, no, they aren't bad against receiving running backs. Same exact thing we were just talking about with the, you know, Chiefs defense and stuff. Okay, if you're a defense and you know you can't sack the quarterback every single play, you would love to, but who do you want them to throw the ball to? The wide receivers and the tight ends downfield, or the running back probably standing, you know, 1 or 2 yards past the line of scrimmage? Of course, you should want to funnel that production to the running backs, and accordingly, that's why they're quote-unquote bad. But hey, again, that is the least efficient target that you can force as a defense. Running backs will average fewer yards per target than wide receivers and tight ends because of the nature of their routes year in and year out. So love that call, and I actually have my stats mixed up before. This 49ers defense is the one that has allowed 9 separate running backs to clear at least 30 receiving yards. So I'm with you, Dwayne. Don't want to say Fred Warner and company can't cover running backs, but yeah. I think they smartly in the year 2024 decide that, hey, you know, investing all of our resources to stop the run or to stop receiving running backs probably doesn't make as much sense as putting some extra reinforcements on the backbone of that D. So yes, with you. And that line's actually now down to 21.5. So couldn't agree more with pounding that over for Jahmyr Gibbs. And yeah, mentioned the extra resources on the back half of the defense. I was thinking the Lions, you know, earlier this week, I had a intro in the Fantasy Life newsletter, which is free. You guys should subscribe, by the way, about each team's kind of secret weapon, like maybe the player or a scheme that they don't use that often, but they're very good when they do decide to do so. And for the Lions, I just kind of pointed out that, yes, Jared Goff, I mean, 7.2 yard average target depth, 4th lowest in the league. And the Lions as a whole have thrown downfield 20 plus yards at the lowest rate in the NFL. They've been really freaking good when doing it, though. I mean, 4th in yards per attempt, 3rd in explosive pass play rate, and even 3rd in completion rate overall. But just like Khalif Raymond has a big part of that screen game, Dwayne, he also works downfield quite a bit. Only Amon-Ra St. Brown actually has more receptions on passes thrown at least 20 yards downfield than Khalif Raymond this year, which is, you know, pretty shocking when you consider what Jameson Williams was brought in to do with the number, 11 pick in the 2021 NFL draft. So not ideal there by any stretch. Again, the 49ers have been good. So yeah, I think all things are pointing to Jahmyr Gibbs and probably David Montgomery being the key factors here. I will say though, Dwayne, this is a very complete Lions offense. Hand up, guys. I doubted him coming in. I was trying to be contrarian, and I just didn't think that you could rely on 2 rookies being this big of pieces of your entire offense. But guess what? Those 2 rookies have been absolutely fantastic. Wanted to get an idea around the league about just where kind of the best supporting cast stack up. So I just took PFF grades as a solid proxy. I got rid of the passing grades. So I just looked at rushing, receiving, pass blocking, and run blocking, averaged those out around the league. And the top 5 supporting casts, number 1, the 49ers, number 2, the Lions. Then we have the Ravens, Dolphins, and Eagles. The Chiefs down there at 13 are the only team remaining not inside the top 3. So again, very great stuff from Ben Johnson, from, you know, David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs, the entire offensive line all season long. I'm just not sure if they can get it done fully against the 49ers, Dwayne. So anything else here with Laporta, David Montgomery? Again, great story. I hope I'm wrong, but I just think the 49ers are better on both sides of the ball at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are better. But just to kind of echo your point, you talked about this supporting cast and how good it is. And it's shown up because 31% of their drives result in a touchdown. That's second behind only the 49ers at 33%. Ooh. So the Lions, they could force a shootout here. They have been good enough. We've seen the 49ers. They are good from a yards per attempt allowed against the run, against the pass. Not great, neither one of those, but good. So we know they have a solid defense, but they have been exploitable. And Jordan Love and that crew were looking really good. Aaron Jones was over 100 yards rushing. I mean, he was like shot out of a cannon. So yeah. I do expect the Lions to come into the game and try to keep their typical game plan as long as they can. They're going to want to run the ball. Their dropback rate over expectation for the year is -3%. If I'm looking at this game, like the Gibbs over receiving prop is probably my favorite. Yeah. But if I'm picking the next one, it's probably a Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like if you're wanting to have a fun sweat, that's going to be an over. We've got him projected at 91.2 yards. His line's moved. It was 84.5. It's up to 85.5 right now on DraftKings at -115. So just kind of keep an eye on that one. But we've seen Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't have it in front of me, but he's gone over 100 yards a ton of times this year. So you could also look at the alt line on his receiving yards right now. +100, you go +150. That's probably what I would do. If I was going to bet Amon-Ra, I would just go with that over 100 yards bet.
So I have a weekly article, guys, my questions article that a lot of this is based on. And one of the charts I have in there is just looking at every offense's drop back, you know, the EPA per drop back and also just what they're getting, you know, per rush attempt out there. And you see the Lions, you know, up in the top right quadrant alongside the Dolphins, the Bills, the Ravens, you know, the Rams, the Packers, the Cowboys, like some of the very best offenses in the NFL. They're all jumbled together. And then even further up and further to the right, Dwayne, all alone, is the San Francisco 49ers. That's the bigger issue, because I'm with you. We've seen Jared Goff and these, you know, Lions go ahead and go toe-to-toe with some solid enough defenses, put up points. I could see the Lions' path to victory somehow, you know, winning a shootout. I just, for the life of me, Dwayne, cannot figure out how they're going to slow down the 49ers on offense. Because, you know, we've now, I don't want to make this the third consecutive podcast that we've just devoted, you know, an hour to talking about Brock Purdy with and without Debo Samuel. Spoiler, everyone, like, yes, he's been a little bit worse by some metrics, but Dwayne also has some good on-off stuff that shows really hasn't been that big of a difference. Also, some of those games had Trent Williams out, so you got to take a little bit with a grain of salt. But with or without Debo, Dwayne, it's been one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, and that's what it comes down to for me. Yes, Aiden Hutchinson and company, they've been really stiff against the run games all season long, but when you have Purdy, Ayuk, Kittle, CMC, yes, I'd like to have Debo, but we're not talking about a matchup against the Ravens right now. We're talking about one of the worst secondaries in the league, especially at the cornerback position with the outside guys. Brian Branch, you know, CJ Gardner-Johnson, they're okay enough in the middle of the field, but man, Dwayne, like if they're, you know, we said, okay, we feel good about Jahmyr Gibbs, maybe sprinkle on some Sun God. I think if there's one prop we both feel best about in this one, it's all the Brandon Ayuk overs.
Yeah, Brandon Ayuk is the best play, I think, on the board this weekend. I think there's a lot of factors here. Potentially, we don't have Debo Samuel. That's obviously going to help, but it was already going to be a Brandon Ayuk game. Yeah. The Lions, you mentioned, they are the worst secondary in the league. If you just want to look at pure yardage, and you know, typically that stacks up and is close to what you see with EPA and other things. And it is the case for the Lions, 278 yards per game, right? And when you look at Brandon Ayuk, he is a monster against man coverage. He's got a 28% targets per route run. That leads the 49ers. So he's in the same spot as we saw Mike Evans last week, who absolutely crushed the Lions because they run the third most man coverage in the NFL over the last six games. So you've got a team that's super leaky on defense that also gives a quarterback a pretty easy read out of the gate. And so Brock Purdy's going to know when he's got Ayuk singled up, and that's the guy he likes to go to against man coverage. And Ian, it is just, it's been a brutal, brutal run for the Lions this weekend. I mean, this season against the opponent's top wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Like if you go back and just look at it over the year, like I knew these things happen, but like until I put them all on a sheet of paper in front of me, I really couldn't believe it. But CD Lamb went off for 13 catches, 227 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, 12 catches, 192 yards and a touchdown. Puka Nacua, 9 catches, 181 yards and a touchdown. Keenan Allen, 11 catches for 175 and two scores. We already talked about Mike Evans. Oh, yeah, Justin Jefferson did it another time where he had 6 catches for 141 and a touchdown. So this is a massive spot for me with Ayuk. I mean, play all the alt lines that you want. You know, I mean, it might not be crazy like to pick, you know, a plus. Typically, you wouldn't pick a receiver to go plus 120. But if you're getting long enough odds on it, then I like all the overs on Brandon Ayuk, specifically yardage. I think you'd be a little bit more careful with the receptions, see where they end up. But right now, I think everything's bettable on Ayuk. Looking at him, I've got him projected for 88. Actually, I think I had to end up, I think I already bumped that up. So I'm looking I'm looking him up right now on the prop finder because you can find my projections there along next to the prop. So it makes it easy for you. Yeah. So I've got him at 88.4. That's kind of conservative. Like when you think about his ceiling, right? Yeah. Right now his line is 81.5 at -115. It's moved a little. It started at 79.5. So people are starting to bet this number up a little bit. Receptions though, I only have him at 5.3. And the line is set at 5.5. So I think that one's a little bit tighter. But would it surprise me if he catches 8 or 9 balls? That number's going to move if we know Debo's out. I'm still projecting Debo to play, but really just be more of a decoy, but get a few targets, right? And so if he goes away, then some of those will go to Ayuk, and I'll adjust that.
We actually did see that earlier this season where Debo actually had a game. Let's see, it was against the Cardinals where he went out there and played 87% of the snaps, but he had gotten banged up at the end of that Giants game, only had 3 carries, 0 targets, and, you know, a pretty ho-hum victory. So, yeah, maybe they could use Debo more if all of a sudden they're trailing and it's just, you know, oh my gosh, we need to do everything possible. But I'm with you. Should be the Brandon Ayuk show. And yes, guys, we did name, you know, a bunch of amazing wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, who, of course, course they're going to go off against the Lions. They go off against pretty much anyone. I really do think Brandon Ayuk is in that tier. I mean, this guy just had the most yards in NFL history, at least dating back to 92 when targets began being tracked, with under 110 targets in a single season. So 1,342 yards. ESPN's advanced receiver ratings actually dubbed him the single best wide receiver in the NFL for the 2023 season. So, and again, Dwayne, it just comes down to, okay, maybe they devote all their attention on Brandon Ayuk. Well, now good luck slowing down Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle, even without Debo in the picture. They haven't been able to slow down anyone, let alone just these, you know, you mentioned number one wide receivers, but just go back the last 5 weeks. Nick Mullins threw for 411 and 396 yards against this defense. Dak Prescott, 345. Stafford, 367. And Baker Mayfield, 349. So, again, it's one of these things where I could see the Lions offense having success. I just cannot for the life of me see this defense slowing down the 49ers. So, for my DraftKings bold score prediction, Dwayne, I'm going with the 49ers 38, the Lions 20. I think the clock's striking midnight on this fairy tale story in a painful way. But, hey, still pretty much the best season Lions fans have ever had. Should not be overly disappointed, but yeah, I can see this one hurting. So hope I'm wrong, Dwayne. I'd love to see the Lions go out there and get the dub. That's the most fun thing, but I think the Niners get it done.
Yeah, I have it as 31-23. So a little bit closer than you, but that would have the Niners covering the spread right now. And the over would be hitting.
Yeah, let's go. Always betting that over. Life far too short to be taking on any unders. Come on now, everybody. Guys, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Fantasy Life Podcast. Appreciate you joining in. Going to have a slightly reduced schedule next week, obviously, with no games going on. But make sure you tune back in tomorrow. Myself, Matthew Friedman, and Jeff Ulrich, once again, giving our best betting props ahead of the weekend's action. Did pretty good last week. And, you know, I can't speak for myself all season, but I can speak for the rest of those guys in our free betting picks tracker, my goodness, Ian, over on fantasylife.com. Guys have been crushing it all season long. I'm just trying to get to some winners because Lord knows the only thing better than kicking back with a beer and watching some football is kicking back with a beer, watching some football and winning some money, baby. So we're going to try to do that again. But yeah, more than anything, just enjoy football. Only three games left. So sad, but hey, you know, we'll have plenty more to get going in 2024 later on. So for Dwayne, I'm Ian. Thanks again for tuning in to Fantasy Life Podcast. Until next time, take care, everybody.